All right. Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday night. I think what I want to say first, Dove, while I know you're still paying attention, is that I won't be here next Sunday either. I'll try and remember to follow up with an email. But next weekend is when I'm going to St. Louis for Mary Gerard Lenihan's three-day retreat at the Mercy Center. So both Friday and Sunday of next weekend I will be missing. And then I will be back again after that. Okay, good. Thank you, Dove. So, happy Sunday night, everyone. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. And that's the time that we've started, gosh, a couple years ago, where we're looking at pretty much everything that Holy Spirit has given me, not including NTI. We're really talking about the personal messages that Holy Spirit has given me in order to guide me through what seems to be my life, with the different questions that have come up for me. So tonight we're looking at messages that came in March of 2006. And I've just given you a link, which goes to March 2006, page 3. And if you click on that link, once you get to March 2006, page 3, you'll actually want to scroll down. We're scrolling down to a message called What is the Authority Problem? It's dated Friday, March 3rd. So that's at least where we're going to start tonight, is with What is the Authority Problem? Friday, March 3rd. But what I want to do, of course, before I go into the message at all, is I want to begin with a prayer. So if you all would join me in the prayer, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. Holy Spirit, I'm feeling guided right now to say thank you for good days. But I'm giggling because I'm noticing that good days are being defined for me as I am being guided to say thank you. I'm noticing that good days, as they're being defined for me now, have no opposite. Because these good days are days in which we enjoy all things. Where at one time there may have been moments of the day that we perceived as good, moments of the day that we perceived as frustrating or as bad or as not what we want. There certainly may have been days that seem to be up days, days that seem to be down days, as us women jokingly call them sometimes bad hair days. But right now I'm feeling guided to say thank you for good days. And I'm feeling guided to recognize that good days are days without judgment. Good days are days where we choose to stay in the now. We choose to stay in the observer, in the stillness, and we absolutely choose to enjoy all things without judging some things as good and some things as bad. And Holy Spirit, I'm feeling very strong guidance to say thank you for good days. This, Holy Spirit, is a prompt to feel gratitude for shrinking judgment in the mind, or for increased awareness. Awareness that reminds me not to listen to judgment even when it shows up in the mind. And this, of course, is what leads to good days. Days without judgment, when everything is enjoyed. Holy Spirit, thank you for good days, and now I am feeling to surrender. I am feeling, out of appreciation for good days, to surrender what one might call my thinking mind, my judging mind, that mind that creates the illusion of duality, that mind that creates good and bad, differences, judgments, varying emotions. And feeling guided to surrender that mind. To say, I don't need that anymore. I need only you. Amen. All right, I see Jewel wrote it down. Good days are days without judgment. Yeah. I love Holy Spirit. I had a friend once. I told her, I said, I love Holy Spirit. And she said, I love Holy Spirit too. And then she said, I guess I'll share him with you. I guess I'll share him with you. Dove says, I lost my mind. Now things are simple. All right. I gave you a link, but I'm not sure if more people have popped into the room or not. So let me give it to you again. This is a link that goes to reginadonacres.com, March 2006. And when you get to that page, please scroll down to a message called, What is the Authority Problem? And it's dated Friday, March 3rd, 2006. I told you when I came into the room that what we do during Holy Spirit Guides is we look at the personal messages that have been given to me to guide me in my life. What that means, of course, is that a lot of these messages have been given to me when I seemed to face problems, difficulties, confusion, when I felt lost, afraid. And the message that we're about to read is no different. This was a period in my life where I had a friend. I'm just going to share the ego perspective. It isn't a perspective I hold anymore, but it was the perspective at the time, and I think it's important to look at what was in my mind at the time before we look at the message. So the perspective at the time was that this friend wanted to control me. And what was really difficult about this wasn't that that was the only perception I had or the only misperception I had. What made it even more difficult was that the friend was literally using language from A Course in Miracles. And the friend was telling me that I couldn't listen to my inner self, that I couldn't trust my inner self because my ego was still too loud. And my friend felt that he was definitely more advanced than me, that he had gone through a lot more cleansing, was much more realized than I was. And my friend was telling me that it would be in my best interest to, in effect, surrender to him, to do as he asked me to do. And so I had one thought in my mind that my friend was trying to control me. But I also had another thought in my mind that he might be right, that I hadn't gone through a lot of letting go of ego yet, that he may be more realized than me, and maybe what I should do is surrender to him. And yet there was something in me saying, that wasn't right, that wasn't right. So if you look at everything that was going on in my mind, there was a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion. So this was a painful time for me because I wanted to be clear on my guidance. I wanted to be clear on my guidance and just do what Holy Spirit wanted me to do. But when you're confused, I'm sure you guys know when you're confused, you don't feel at all clear on your guidance. And so you don't know what to do, and it can be a very painful place to be in. And one of the things that this friend kept saying to me, using language from A Course in Miracles, he kept talking about the authority problem. And he told me that as I wanted to listen to myself, which I felt was my inner voice, by the way, I want to tell you, I didn't feel that I was wanting to listen to my ego. I felt like I was wanting to listen to my Holy Spirit. But he was telling me that as I wanted to listen to myself instead of him, that actually what I was doing was being confused based on the authority problem, and that this is what the Course was talking about, and that it would be better if I just surrendered my voice entirely and listened to him. So this is what I was going through. I was a little confused. Apparently not too confused, though, because I wasn't too confused to go to Holy Spirit and ask for help. So the good news is I wasn't so confused that I actually did abandon my inner voice. I did not abandon my inner voice. I was not so confused that I did that. I went to the inner voice and asked for help, and I'm really grateful that I did that. It wasn't the ego. I wasn't holding on to my ego. I went in with the knowledge that I did not know, and I asked for help. So that's the story that precedes this message. So if we look at the message that I received on Friday, March 3rd, you'll notice the question. I said, Holy Spirit, the question of the authority problem seems to be coming up. What would you like to share regarding the authority problem? Wow, and this answer is a very surprising answer, but it was very helpful to me at the time. So let's look at what Holy Spirit had to say. The authority problem is an illusion. There really is no authority problem, since all authority is as God created it to be. Authority is with God, because self is with God, and self is what God created it to be. It has not changed. It is itself perfectly. It's a very interesting paragraph, because I went in thinking one of two situations had to be true. Either I was right and my brother was wrong. And literally, I will tell you, my state of mind at the time was that if I was right in listening to my inner voice, that he was guilty for asking me not to. Do you understand what I mean by wrong? In other words, I went to Holy Spirit thinking either I was right and my brother was guilty, or my brother was right and I was guilty. So when I went into Holy Spirit, I really was completely confused. I went in thinking one of us had to be right and the other one had to be guilty. And I kind of wanted to know which way it was. Was I the guilty one or was he? Should I feel really bad about myself or should I hate him? So knowing that state of mind that I went in, now let's look at this paragraph again. The very first sentence, absolutely, Holy Spirit is not going to tell me that either one of us is guilty. Holy Spirit says the authority problem itself is an illusion. That's the same as saying the whole damn world is an illusion. That's the same as saying the ego is not real. The authority problem is an illusion. Nothing ever happened. Isn't that what Holy Spirit's always telling us? The truth is still true? And if that's true, then I'm not guilty and my brother is not guilty too. All right, so right away, the idea that either he or I have to be guilty is completely erased. The authority problem is an illusion. There really is no authority problem. Notice there really is no authority problem, since all authority is as God created it to be. Authority is with God, because self is with God. This is the truth. He's taking my eyes completely away from the illusion and focusing me on truth. Authority is with God because self is with God. The illusion is not true. The ego is not true. Only the truth is true. Therefore, there really is no authority problem. And if there is no authority problem, then neither you nor your brother are guilty, because everything is perfect right now. There really is no authority problem, since all authority is as God created it to be. Authority is with God, because self is with God, and self is what God created it to be. It has not changed. It is itself perfectly. And then, in order to continue to be helpful to me, Holy Spirit continues. All belief in guilt comes from the belief that there is an authority problem, which there isn't. Now remember, I came in here thinking that either me or my brother, one of us, was guilty. And if we look at that a little more, that's because I thought one of us was the right authority and one of us was the wrong authority. Either I was the right authority in believing that I should trust my Holy Spirit and he was the wrong authority for telling me not to, or he was the right authority because he was truly more realized than me, and I was the wrong authority for wanting to listen to myself when there was still too much ego there. You see how I had the idea that one of us was right, the other one was guilty. But Holy Spirit says all belief in guilt comes from the belief that there is an authority problem. Well, that's what I was believing. I was believing that one of us had to be listening to the wrong voice. One of us had to have the authority problem, and the one that did would be the guilty one. Guilty. Do you understand? Not just mistaken. Guilty. I mean, literally, if Holy Spirit had told me that my brother was wrong, if the Holy Spirit had told me that my brother was wrong, that he should not be telling me what he was saying, I would have come out of this session with Holy Spirit feeling justified in hating my guilty brother. But Holy Spirit says all belief in guilt comes from the belief that there is an authority problem, which there isn't. The authority problem is the belief. Notice he's using the word belief. The authority problem is the belief that you have stolen yourself from God and made yourself according to your own will. But I have been teaching you that God is life and God's will is freedom. Therefore, the concept of an authority problem is impossible. So if I believe in the authority problem, it means that I believe I've separated myself from God. And it's only a belief, it's only an idea, it's no truth at all. The authority problem is the belief that you have stolen yourself from God and made yourself according to your own will. But I have been teaching you that God is life and God's will is freedom. You know, whenever I read now God's will is life, immediately I hear a question in my head that says, am I living? Am I living? And the obvious answer to that is yes. And so then the next logical statement is, well, then I can't be against God's will. If God's will is life, and I am living, then I'm in alignment with God's will, and so is my brother. And if God's will is freedom, then my brother can be having his experience, however true or false it is, and I can be having my experience, however true or false it is, and we are still both within the will of freedom. Therefore, neither one of us can be guilty. If God's will is life and God's will is freedom, there really is no authority problem, because we are both living and we are both having the experience we want to have. Hey, Jamie, did you want to go potty? Hey, guys, I'll be right back. I think my dog wants to go outside. Hold on. Living Freedom wants to pee. I'll be right back. Come on. And in a few moments, Living Freedom's going to want to come back in, so we'll have to let her back in the room. Okay, so here we go. All belief in guilt comes from the belief that there is an authority problem, which there isn't. The authority problem is the belief that you have stolen yourself from God and made yourself according to your own will. But I have been teaching you that God is life and God's will is freedom. Therefore, the concept of an authority problem is impossible, because we live and we are free. You cannot be separate from life, and you cannot be anything but free. You are one with God, a part of Him, and He a part of you, and you are, in every expression of yourself, an expression of freedom. Do you see that? You are in every expression of yourself. So one expression of myself is the expression that I call me, Regina. But another expression of myself is the one that I called my brother. Right? And in each expression of ourself, we are still free. Therefore, my brother and I stood there in this apparent conflict, both of us, the perfect creation of God. You are one with God, a part of Him, and He a part of you. And you are, in every expression of yourself, an expression of freedom. Therefore, you are as God created you. When the question of the authority problem comes up, remember first and foremost that there cannot be an authority problem. It is an impossibility. Then realize that it is coming up for you because you believe this impossible thought. Now that's absolutely true. Because although it seemed like my brother was accusing me of having an authority problem, I thought either he had an authority problem or I did. I thought one of us has to have an authority problem here. Either I am right in wanting to listen to my inner guide, and he is wrong for telling me not to, or I am wrong in thinking that I'm ready to listen to my inner guide, and he is right in asking me to listen to him. But I thought one of us has to have an authority problem, which means it's absolutely true that I believe there was such a thing as an authority problem. So when the question of the authority problem comes up, remember first and foremost that there cannot be an authority problem. It is an impossibility. Then realize that it is coming up for you because you believe this impossible thought. And all of the thoughts that seem to have been dreamed out of this thought, which means guilt. One of us is guilty. Realize that the idea of the authority problem is coming up for you because you believe this impossible thought. And all of the thoughts that seem to have been dreamed out of this thought, you believe them also. Your role is the role of forgiveness. Your role is the role of forgiveness, which includes releasing the belief in the possibility of an authority problem. With the release of this belief, all belief in guilt is gone, because the foundation for guilt has been let go from the mind. Your role is the role of forgiveness, which includes releasing the belief in the possibility of an authority problem. What this says to me is that I needed to look at my brother, and I needed to see he is living freedom right now in expression. There could be no guilt there. And I needed to look at myself and say, this experience of me is living freedom in expression. There can be no guilt here. I needed to erase the possibility of guilt from the idea of my brother and from the idea of me before I could have any clarity at all. Oh, hello, Jamie. Somebody else let her in, but she wants to come and kiss me. Can you come back in? Oh, you happy after peeing? Yay! She's so happy. I am teaching. Do you want to come say hi, too?
Whoops.
It's okay. They love you. Come say hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Is Danielle here?
You know what? I don't see Danielle. Go call Danielle. Say, where are you? I don't see her. She must have forgot.
Hi, everyone.
All right, let me get back to it, please.
Okay,
let me kiss. I love
I'm
you.
I'm hungry.
Okay, well, when I get done teaching, I will come cook dinner.
Okie
dokie. Okie dokie, bye. Okay. So when the question of the authority problem comes up, remember first and foremost that there cannot be an authority problem. It is an impossibility. Then realize that it is coming up for you because you believe this impossible thought. If I did not believe in the authority problem, I could never have thought that one of us had to be right and the other one had to be wrong. I would have just seen us both as innocent expressions. Realize that it is coming up for you because you believe this impossible thought and all of the thoughts that seem to have been dreamed out of this thought. Your role is the role of forgiveness, which includes releasing the belief in the possibility of an authority problem. With the release of this belief, all belief in guilt is gone, because the foundation for guilt has been let go from the mind. The belief in the authority problem is the foundation of guilt. The belief that there could be truly another voice other than God, separate from God, is the foundation for guilt. All right, here's a question I asked. What would you share about voices of authority in the world that claim to know what is best for me? All right, here I am asking. This seemed to be my core problem, right? It seemed like there was someone telling me that he knew what was in my best interest and I did not. And therefore it was in my best interest to surrender even what I perceived to be my inner voice and to listen only to him. So here's the question. What would you share about voices of authority in the world that claim to know what is best for me? The answer: the voice of God is within. All that seems to be within is reflected in the world that you see as without. This world is within the mind. There is no without out there. There is nothing to surrender to. Now, this did something to my mind that I don't know if I can describe. It's almost like it took... I'm going to do my best, but I really don't know if I can describe this. It almost took my inner mind and tossed it outside so that I saw clearly that if I did not have doubt myself in my inner voice, I would never be confused by someone who seemed to stand outside of me and tell me that I could not trust my inner voice. In other words, there wasn't really a problem with a physical man standing outside of me telling me I needed to surrender to him. The problem was my own inner doubt. Without that doubt, even if that man said the exact same thing, I would have just smiled. And I would have said, oh no, thank you, I'm going to listen to my inner voice. I might have giggled at the idea that I would listen to something else. So there wasn't a problem on the outside. The problem was the doubt within. All that seems to be within is reflected in the world that you see as without. This world is within the mind. There is no without out there. There is nothing to surrender to. My God, I was looking at my own doubt. Nothing to surrender to, but something to question, don't you think? Something to look at. Holy Spirit continues. However, what you see is a reflection of your mind. So if you see one who seems to be asking you to surrender to him as the answer to the authority problem, it is an outward symbol of a mistaken belief within. There is no surrendering that must occur within an outward world that does not exist. But there is recognition of a belief within the mind that must be seen clearly and claimed. The purpose for claiming this belief is simply that it may be released. There is no other reason for claiming it. So here we go, guys. God, the Holy Spirit is good. This inner voice that I was about to not trust, confused about trusting, so damn wise. Okay, so it's telling me this entire situation, which is showing up as a confusion for me, is showing up for one reason only, that I can see my own doubt, see it clearly, and choose to let it go. In other words, this whole situation of what seems to be an outer person telling me that my inner voice is still too covered up by ego and I should not listen to myself, instead I should listen to him, is there for one reason only. So that I will look at that and giggle and say, oh no, I am committed to my inner voice. I will follow only that. It is there to help me release any doubt and to become fully committed to my inner voice. This brother that I was about to hate, that I was fully willing to hate, is nothing but a gift to me. A gift to help me release my doubt so that I can become more fully committed to my inner guide, the one that is leading me to awakening. And when seen that way, hate is an impossibility. When seen that way, there is only love and gratitude for this brother, because he helped me to see my own doubt that needed to be released so that I could go further with my Holy Spirit. What you see is a reflection of your mind. So if you see one who seems to be asking you to surrender to him as the answer to the authority problem, it is an outward symbol of a mistaken belief within. There is no surrendering that must occur within an outward world that does not exist. But there is recognition of a belief within the mind that must be seen clearly and claimed. My doubt, I have to claim it. This is my doubt. The purpose for claiming this belief is simply that it may be released. There is no other reason for claiming it. There is nothing in the world to surrender to make yourself worthy. That was a part of my confusion, wasn't it? That I was the guilty one? That I was wrong in trusting my inner voice and that he was right because he was more realized than me? And you know what was there? That if that scenario was true, I would be more worthy if I surrendered to him. Now, if you look at that for just a minute, the only way I could be more worthy if I surrender to him is if it's true that I'm unworthy. If I had bought that idea that I would be more worthy if I surrendered to him, it also means, by default, that I buy the idea that I'm unworthy. Wow, this is something that needs to be seen, guys. Do you realize that this is a part of the spiritual world, this belief? It's in all religions. Somewhere there's some guru, some teacher, some leader that people surrender to because there's the belief in some minds, not always, that if they surrender to this one, they will be more worthy. They will be better. And in order for you to believe that you are more worthy or better, you have to first accept the belief that you're not worthy, that you're less. Sometimes we don't see our motives, but my God, Holy Spirit, sees our motives clearly, doesn't he? There's nothing in the world that can make me better. The belief that I'm not better needs to be released. There's no act that makes me better. The belief that I'm unworthy needs to be released. It's a false belief. It's a false belief. There is nothing in the world to surrender to in order to make yourself worthy. That was one of the beliefs in my mind when I came and asked this question. I thought that that was one possibility, that I was wrong, my brother was right, and I would be better if I surrendered to him. I never once realized that what I was looking at was my own belief in unworthiness, and what I needed to do was simply release that belief. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for shining a light on this confusion. Wow. There is nothing in the world to surrender to in order to make yourself worthy. There is nothing in the world to blame for your fears or sense of unworthiness. God dang it. That's something else that was in my mind. I wanted to blame this brother for making me afraid to trust my inner voice. I wanted to blame him and hate him for making me afraid to trust my inner voice, when all I needed to do was look at that distrust and release it. Holy shit. I don't know what I would have done without Holy Spirit, guys. I just would be screwed up, because there were a lot of screwed up ideas in my head. Jamie, you don't want to go outside again, do you, my love? Come here. Come here and lay down. You've already pee-peed. Lay down. Come on. Lay down. Come on, my sweet one. Lay down. Okay? I love you. There is nothing in the world to blame for your fears or sense of unworthiness. Everything in the mind... Everything is in the mind, and everything must be addressed and released there. Remember, the outer world is a reflection of an inner condition. Where have we heard that before? You do not need to react to the outer at all or any way. Now, this for me was another, I mean, really, holy shit. I thought I had to do something. I thought I either had to stand up to this guy and say, you're wrong and I'm going to listen to me, or I've had to surrender to him. This is, I don't have to react at all. It says all I have to do is look at the thoughts in my mind and release them. Remember, the outer world is a reflection of an inner condition. You do not need to react to the outer world at all or in any way. In fact, whenever you do react to it, you are seeing it as real. So if I went to my brother and told him how wrong he was and what a jerk he was and I was going to believe me, I'm still listening to one of the errors in my mind. And if I say, oh my God, he's so right, I can't trust my inner voice, and I surrender to him, I am still listening to one of the errors in my mind. I needed to not do either of those things. See the errors and let them go. Remember, the outer world is a reflection of an inner condition. You do not need to react to the outer at all or in any way. In fact, whenever you do react to it, you are seeing it as real. Use the world for this and for this only. Okay, this is going to be a pretty clear instruction. I don't know what it is yet, but I can tell it's going to be a clear instruction. Use the world for this and for this only. To see the picture of that which is in your mind, and to release that which is not of me. You are releasing the faults which blind you to the truth. That is all the world is for. That is all the world is for. He said that twice, didn't he? That's all the world is for. See the picture of that which is in your mind and release that which is not of me. You are releasing the faults which blind you to the truth. That is all the world is for. That is all the world is for. There is nothing in the world that you must do. Be alert to opportunities for forgiveness. And use each opportunity given to release that which isn't true from your mind. That's all the world is for. That's all the world is for. Okay, I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share about this message before we go on to another one. I am going to read a comment that Dove wrote sometime during this message. He wrote, a wise teacher teaches that there is only love. That's what Holy Spirit just taught, I think. He called it living freedom, but I think it's the same thing, right? A wise teacher teaches that there is only love, that everything that seems to happen to you is for you, to help you welcome it, and if it causes an upset, he will help you look at it differently. He helped me look at it differently, didn't he? He helped me see that I had thoughts in my mind that were not helpful to me, thoughts that were obstacles that needed to be released. I guess I went to a wise teacher. Yay! Okay, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to listen to my wise teacher a little more. Okay? So, first of all, for those of you who have just recently joined, because I do see some more friends in the room, there's a link to the page that we're on at reginadonacres.com. And what we're going to do next is we're going to read the message that is dated Sunday, March 5th. So those of you who have already been with me as we looked at this message about the authority problem, you'll scroll up. If you're just clicking on the link for the first time, you'll scroll down. And while you're doing your scrolling, I'm going to see what Lord Blue has for me. So Lord Blue, what do you got? That's an easy one, Lord Blue. Your questions aren't always easy, you know, but that's an easy one. He says, how can one claim a belief? All you have to do is say, ah, this is a belief in my mind. That's how you claim a belief. So when I was wanting to, for example, hate my brother for making me doubt my inner voice, remember? I wanted to hate my brother for making me doubt my inner voice, then I'm not claiming the belief. But when I say, ah, what's happening here is I'm seeing that I doubt my inner voice. Then I am claiming it. When I'm not claiming it, when I'm blaming my brother, I'm not releasing it. When I am claiming it, when I say, ah, I doubt my inner voice, then I can choose to release it. So hopefully that answers your question. But I have to accept this as my error before I can choose again. If I'm denying that it's my error, if it's my brother's fault, then I'm really rather trapped. But once I accept it, I'm free. How can you release a belief? The real answer for that is a decision, and I would call it a decision in trust. Yeah, repetition, Mary Ellen says. That's a part of it too. My experience has been that I have a choice. I can believe that I'm right, or I can trust that Holy Spirit is right. And I'll be absolutely honest with you, sometimes choosing to trust that Holy Spirit is right feels a little bit like stepping off of a cliff. I think they call it a leap of faith. And choosing not to doubt the inner voice, believe it or not, is one of those leaps of faith. There is a lot of doubt in our minds about our inner voice. That's why many people don't hear it clearly, is because they doubt it so strongly. And to choose to trust that inner voice instead of the outer world is a choice. It's a decision. And it seems like when we first make that choice that it's not a choice that we have proof that it's the right choice. You know, like when I started trusting this inner voice that I'm writing down, I didn't yet have proof that that was the right thing to do. That's why it's called a leap of faith. I had to choose, you know what, instead of the way I've always thought, I'm going to trust this inner voice. I had to make that choice. And then it was by actually doing it, not just talking about it, but actually doing it, that I learned through my own experience that was the right choice to make. So how do you release a belief? That's a decision. You say, okay, when thoughts of unworthiness come into my mind anymore after this, I'm not just going to listen to them. I'm not going to look at the mirror and listen to the thoughts about how ugly my body is. I'm not going to look at the mistakes I make in my workday and listen to the thoughts about how stupid I am. I'm going to do something different. From now on, when I look in the mirror and those thoughts about how ugly I am come into my mind, I'm going to say, those are unworthiness thoughts, and I'm choosing not to listen to you anymore. And when I make a mistake at work and the thoughts come into my mind telling me how stupid I am, I'm going to say, those are unworthiness thoughts, and I'm choosing not to listen to you anymore. You see, it's a decision, but it is a decision that we follow up on. That's where Mary Ellen's answer of repetition comes in. Most of us don't seem to make the decision firm enough so that once is enough. So we have to make the decision over and over again. Lord Blue, your hand is still up. Do you have more, or did you just forget? Okay, here we go. So to release a belief, we should first claim it and then decide to forgive it. Yes. And by forgive, I mean, decide not to believe it anymore. And now his hand is down, so he must be okay. And I saw somebody said they couldn't open the link. I'm not sure why. I'm posting it again. I don't know if that will help. If not, just listen. And I'll tell you what I do often when I'm listening to another teacher. I close my eyes when I listen. It's a lot less distracting. And that's not just in Pal Talk. That's if I'm listening to a CD or anything. Somehow if I close my eyes when I listen to someone, I listen more deeply. So if you don't have the message to follow along while I'm reading, you might just close your eyes and listen, and that might do just as well as having the message to follow along. Okay, so we're going to read the message from Sunday, March 5th, 2006. It's a short message, so it should take us to our 8:15 stop time. Wait a second, I got to read somebody here. I think they're being silly, but I'm tempted to read it. I close my eyes when I drive so I can listen to the Holy Spirit tell me where to go. Thank you, Theo. Thank you, Theo. All right, here we go. What is a prayer that will help me with fear? This will be something I need if I'm on the road with Theo, I guess. Driving with eyes closed. Okay, here we go. What is a prayer that will help me with fear? From Sunday, March 5th, 2006. Question. Holy Spirit, a friend has requested a prayer that will help during times of fear. What would you share with us? Answer. Fear is a symbol of your belief that you are separate from me. Ah, that's an interesting first sentence. He's calling fear a symbol. It's a symbol of the belief that I'm separate from God. That means if I didn't have the belief, I could never have fear. Okay? It also means that if I have fear, I still have the belief. Fear is a symbol of your belief that you are separate from me. But it is only a symbol of a deeply held belief. It's not anything overly meaningful. It's not a feeling that tells you something awful is truly about to happen. It's just nothing. It's just a symbol that you believe you're separate from me. If you didn't believe you were separate from me, you could never feel fear. Okay? It's just a symbol. So fear is a symbol of your belief that you are separate from me. But it is only a symbol of a deeply held belief. It is nothing real as it represents no fact. To know the truth is to know no fear. Therefore, it is helpful to pray in this way, and I will read the prayer without comment. Father, I am afraid because I have forgotten who I am and my relationship to you. And yet, I come to you now because I know our relationship is everything. I put all of my faith and willingness in the full remembrance of this truth, and I am grateful for your love and comfort. Right now, I choose to turn away from fear because I choose to turn away from the belief that begets it. I know within my heart that I am one with you, which is why I choose to join with you here and now. I rest in you and the knowledge that we are one. I am grateful for our truth. I let go of my fears, as there is no basis to support them. And I rest in you in gratitude and peace and abiding joy. Amen. Or as Jasmine would say, Amen. All right, so one thing that's really interesting about this particular prayer is the first sentence. Father, I am afraid because I have forgotten who I am and my relationship to you. Notice this doesn't say, Father, I am afraid because I am running out of money. It may seem like I'm afraid because I'm running out of money. But that isn't the true cause of my fear. The true cause of my fear is that I believe I'm separate from God. If I knew I was one with God, if I knew that God had my back, I could not be afraid. I might not know what's going to happen next, but I would not be afraid. Notice it doesn't say, I am afraid because my husband has decided not to love me anymore. That seeming decision made by the other can only hurt us because we believe we're separate from God and therefore unlovable. If we knew we were one with God, with the infinite source of love, we could allow that which happens in our life in peace. So what Holy Spirit is doing with this very first sentence in this prayer is taking our mind, which may have come into the prayer thinking, I am afraid because I'm running out of money, or I am afraid because my husband has chosen not to love me anymore. And it's correcting that error thought. That's not why I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I have forgotten who I am and my relationship to you. If I remembered that, I could never be afraid, and there's nothing I could not accept. So the very first line in this prayer is a correction to the error that was in the mind when we thought we needed to pray in the first place. And then the second sentence is a further correction. Father, I am afraid because I have forgotten who I am and my relationship to you. And yet, I come to you now because I know our relationship is everything. In other words, let's go a little deeper in the heart. When I am afraid because I have forgotten my relationship to you, I am focused on untruth. Hold on 1 second. My dog is just crying up a storm. Hold on.
What do you want, Jamie?
It looks like she wanted to go upstairs and be with Jasmine and Ron. They're upstairs playing, and she wanted to go be with them. I had her down here in the office with me with the door closed. She didn't like that. All right, so here we go again. When I seem to have forgotten my relationship to God, it's because I'm focused on untruth. But you know, there is a part of all of us that knows the truth, which means I have a choice. I can be focused on untruth, or I can refocus on truth, because truth is still in me. I'm not apart from it. So the first sentence in this prayer corrects the error that I'm afraid because of something in the world by saying, I'm afraid because I've forgotten who I am and my relationship to you. The second sentence refocuses us. It says, but I haven't forgotten, or I wouldn't be taking this time to pray. In other words, inside of me there is a state of mind that is at peace. I am not just fearful. Inside of me there's a state of mind that is at peace now. And I can shift my attention from this fearful mind to the part of me that is always at peace by remembering the truth now. It's not true. It's not wholly true that I have forgotten you, because a part of me has not. And it is that part of me that led me to pray to you now. If I had truly forgotten, I wouldn't be talking to God. So, really, I'm afraid because I'm believing false stuff. And if I let go of believing false stuff and I focus myself only on the truth that my heart knows, my fear must disappear. Father, I am afraid because I have forgotten who I am and my relationship to you. And yet, I come to you now because I know our relationship is everything. I put all of my faith and willingness in the full remembrance of this truth, and I am grateful for your love and comfort. Right now, I choose to turn away from fear, because I can. You see, I've realized through the first paragraph in the prayer that I'm only afraid because I'm focusing my mind on wrong ideas or false ideas. But right ideas or true ideas are in me too. So I really can change my mind and choose not to be afraid, even if the situation doesn't change, even if the situation still appears to be that I'm running out of money, or even if the situation still appears to be that my husband has decided to stop loving me. I can change my mind and not be afraid. It's like I was saying to Lord Blue earlier, it's a decision. I can release these thoughts that are not true and decide not to be afraid. I don't need anything fixed right now for my fear to go. I only need to change my mind and my fear will go. Because my fear is just a symbol that I'm focused on false beliefs right now, and it's nothing else. The truth is still in me. I can refocus myself on the truth, and the fear will fade away. Right now, I choose to turn away from fear, because I choose to turn away from the belief that begets it. I know within my heart that I am one with you. See, that knowledge is in me. I know. And that's where I'm going to put my attention now. I know within my heart that I am one with you, which is why I choose to join with you here and now. The fact that I'm praying, that I'm talking to you, is proof of this knowledge in my mind. So why don't I just focus on that instead of what I was focusing on? Why don't I choose to return to peace by focusing on what I know is true instead of focusing on false imaginings? Right now, I choose to turn away from fear because I choose to turn away from the belief that begets it. I know within my heart that I am one with you, which is why I choose to join with you here and now. I rest in you and the knowledge that we are one. I am grateful for our truth. I let go of my fears as there is no basis to support them. And I rest in you in gratitude and peace and abiding joy. Amen. So through the pure recognition of truth, we return ourselves to peace. This is the prayer that we were given to help with fear. Holy Spirit continues. If the fear seems intense, it is only because the belief is intense within your mind. It's not because there's something more real happening. The belief is just intense that you are not one with God. It's showing up as the idea that you're abandoned by God, that God would never pay attention to you. But it's only an idea, a false idea If the fear seems intense, it is only because the belief is intense within you. Or sorry, within your mind. If the fear seems intense, it is only because the belief is intense within your mind. But the one who gives the belief all of its intensity is you. If it's intense, it's because you're focusing on it. You're thinking about it. You're believing it. You're putting your attention there. You are literally the one that's creating all of your own fear and suffering. Now we're back to that claim it, right? If I say no, I'm afraid because the world is fearful, then I seem to be victim to the world. But if I say no, I'm afraid because I keep listening to these thoughts, now I have a chance at letting go of my fear. Now I have a chance at release from this suffering by changing my mind about where I'm going to focus my attention. If the fear seems intense, it is only because the belief is intense within your mind. But the one who gives the belief all of its intensity is you. And so you may choose instead to have intense faith, intense willingness, and intense gratitude. Trade one intensity for another. Obviously, I am capable of being intense. I created this intense fear. Obviously, I am capable of being intense. So why not meet intense fear with intense faith or intense trust? Why not meet intense fear with intense willingness or intense gratitude that the truth is true and I am wrong as hell? If the fear seems intense, it is only because the belief is intense within your mind. But the one who gives the belief all of its intensity is you. And so you may choose instead to have intense faith, intense willingness, and intense gratitude. You may choose instead to pray intensely. You may choose to be intensely vigilant by not giving your thoughts to the intensity of a false belief. Always remember that anything that is in your mind is in your mind. We're back to the claim it again, right? Always remember that anything that is in your mind is in your mind. If you choose not to focus on it, not to fuel it with your focus, it must die away. Give of your thoughts where you would have them be. And do not give where you would not have them be. So it's really a question of where do I want to place my attention? Do I want to place my attention on this fearful idea that I'm running out of money and there's going to be ultimate disaster, that my husband is leaving me, has decided not to love me, no man will ever love me again, blah, 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 blah? Or do I just want to focus my attention on remembering that I am one with God, that all will be well, I don't need to know the answers, I'm truly in the love of God now? Which one do I want? I'm going to read the prayer again. Again, without comment, but I think it might be more meaningful than the first time I read it now that we've looked at the entire message. So here is a prayer that was given to help us with fear. Father, I am afraid because I have forgotten who I am and my relationship to you. And yet, I come to you now because I know our relationship is everything. I put all of my faith and willingness in the full remembrance of this truth, and I am grateful for your love and comfort. Right now, I choose to turn away from fear, because I choose to turn away from the belief that begets it. I know within my heart that I am one with you, which is why I choose to join with you here and now. I rest in you and the knowledge that we are one. I am grateful for our truth. I let go of my fears, as there is no basis to support them. And I rest in you in gratitude and peace and abiding joy. Amen. And that's all I'm going to do as far as messages. I have 4 minutes left, and lately I've been having fun picking out Resta songs. Once again, I'm just going to grab a CD, and this time I grab Volume 6. And once again, I'm not going to consciously choose a song. I'm just going to stick it in, and I guess I'm going to play song number 7, whatever the heck that is. And we'll be pleasantly surprised. Let's see, song number 7 is what I said. Okay, let's see what song number 7 is on volume 6. Here we go. Oh wait, my CD player didn't want to play. Let's try that again. I probably do need a new CD player. This happens from time to time, but I can eventually get it to work, so I haven't got a new one yet. Here we go, let's try it again. Nope, it's not coming. Wait, wait, wait. I think it's going to prove me wrong. Yes, here we go.
Silence, give guidance.
Wow, beautiful. All right, guys, I'm out of here. I'll see you Wednesday morning at 10 for Awakenings. Bye-bye.